Shalom, everybody. Welcome to Baruch Haba, Rishon Messianic Bible Club. I hope you guys were able to tune in last night and to watch last night's Bible study. I feel like it's one of the most important, if not the most important, messages that God has given me since being a pastor, especially in this late hour as we continue. The guy that does the YouTube called Revelation 12, Revelation chapter 12, I respect a lot of his. He always does really good Bible studies. And he found a scripture that said, and let me read it. It's in, I even wrote it down and put it in my pocket. It's from Micah chapter 4, verse 9. And it speaks of the tribulation that Israel is about to enter into, and saying that they would not have a king when the tribulation begins, saying that they won't have a government. And that seems to be a pretty accurate prophecy right about now, huh? Because they're still locked at 3232. Neither one of them is going to be able to form a government, because one of them would have to go over to the other side to help him form a government. And so that's not going to happen. Netanyahu has offered to have a combined, united government, and that has not happened. And I don't think they're going to accept that. So I don't know. You know what? I didn't read Micah 4:9. The guy was reading it this morning, Revelation chapter 12. I don't even know his real name, but, you know, I know a lot of people on Facebook by that guy, the guy who sits in the chair with the and let's read Micah. Let's read Micah before we get started, because I just wanted to get this out of my head. I was over here. I was on my way driving here today, and I said, it's a very interesting scripture for verse 9.
Oh, his name is Paul.
Paul? Okay, praise God.
That came from Miranda Smith.
Thank you. Miranda?
Miranda.
Miranda, thank you so much, Miranda. I appreciate it. Because, yeah, Paul has very, I like his channel. I always liked his channel. He's he really sticks to the scripture. He stays with, you know, he stays biblical. I really like him a lot. I like his channel and the information that comes out. But this scripture right here, it says, "Why do you now cry aloud? Have you no king? Has your counselor perished? That pain sees you like that of a woman in labor." So when the labor comes upon Israel, it says they have no king. And it's so writh in the agony, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor. For now you must leave the city to encamp in the open fields. You will go to Babylon. There you will be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you out of the hands of your enemy. So when they go into tribulation, when they go into tribulation, it appears that they have no king. And you know, since the word of God is prophecy, it's always speaking to us about a future event. Okay, I want to pray us in, and I want to thank everybody for joining us, especially on these Thursdays. Last night's message was good. We'll go over some of that, and we're going to also go over this this letter. Now, I don't have the thing here. Where is it? Okay, yeah. This is Felipe and his wife. They sent me this information as well about the other 19s, all of the 19s in the scriptures that talk directly about the rapture. And so I wanted to go over a little bit of that, because if you send me good stuff, man, I even if you send me bad stuff, I look at it before I go, But if it's good stuff, I go, hey, let's look at this. You know what I mean? The guy who thinks he's the smartest person in the world is dumb, right?
Amen.
So thank you for the information.
MOG said, what's the Hebrew for perish in that verse?
Perish in what verse?
Probably talking about Micah. Does it say anything about perish in Micah?
In Micah chapter 7, there's a perish written, but that word is avad, to disappear. Okay? So whenever in the book of Micah in chapter 7, it uses the word perish, and it says that word means to avad. And avad means to disappear, to vanish. Okay? So here, let's pray in, because I don't want to forget. I might get too excited about our talk and then forget to pray, and that would be a horrible thing, which I do not like to do, and I repent. I must be prayed up and prepared. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay. Avanu shaba shabaim yit kadeshimcha. Tavo melchuteka ye aser sanaka. Be aretz ke asher ne asa beshamaim. Telano hayom lechem ukeno. Uselachlanu et ashmitenu. Ke asher solechem anachnu. Le asher ashmilanu. Viel tevilenu lo de masa. Ke im hatzilanu min hara. Kilaha, Hamamlaka, Vehagivara, Vehativ Eret, Le Olame, Le Olamim. Amen. Praise God. Okay.
You want to do the names first or last?
Yeah, no, I'm gonna read off a few more names of people who are joining. Listen, you guys, we thought, okay, this thing will settle down and then we'll have a good core of people and that'll be it, because you know we can't keep growing, right?
Oh.
We were wrong. Okay, we were wrong. Pastor Antonio. Who is Pastor Antonio Joshua in Kenya? Antonio Joshua in Kenya. But he's on our list, Pastor Ben. And I think, I'd like to contact him. Okay, let me get to page 3. Because we have Wayne and Josh, who live in, I can't even say that, Gil Coast Road, Oahu, Rotorua. I don't know where that is. Mike Rubio in Mexico. And in Colorado, we have Angela Bastille, and she's in Colorado Springs, and their Air Force beat Colorado Buffaloes last week, but I forget. And Kathy Dunson in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Yvette Wake in Buffalo. Looks like that's W-Y-O. Y-O. Oh, yeah, that's in New York. And it says Amy Richard, who lives in Belle Plains, Minnesota. Andrew and Marie, who live in New Zealand. Linda Kaur. Jane Noel or Noel Jane, and they just have their. Oh, I'm glad you guys put your email so I can email you. Okay, and Rebecca Rogers, and here we have somebody from Mount Laurel, New Jersey, Terry Bassinet, and sorry if I messed up your last name. And we have we have Allison Mitley from the United Kingdom, and another Elizabeth Tescari, and she's from London, but I think we already know her, or she's on my Facebook or something. And of course, Octavia Martinez, and I know her as well. So, yeah, I don't want to read names over and over, but man, we have not stopped growing, and I thank God. I wish I was even more popular, because, you know, when I see this morning, we were already 3,000 hits. Okay, wow. We were like 3,300 hits by this morning. And I say, that's beautiful. The message that I spoke last night needs to go out to the whole world, because they're not thinking about there being an ending chapter to the earth. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're not thinking about a rapture. They're not thinking about God fulfilling his word. They're not thinking about a coming antichrist. there, you know, even though this ministry, I think God has prepared us to show them that Satan is preparing for what he knows to be true. And what he knows to be true is there is going to be a tribulation. Yes. And so Satan is fully preparing for the tribulation. Yes. And Christians are fully preparing for the next 20 years on earth. And it's like, that is so strange. I know the scripture says to occupy, but it also says to stay ready. Make sure that Colossians 3 says to keep your mind on heavenly things, keep your heart on heavenly things, because your home is not here. Your home is with God and in the presence of Jesus Christ. And that's our home. And God wants us to be heavenly minded.
Amen.
Because, you know, this place has to go through a serious renovation.
Yeah.
Before Christ gets back. And like one of the cartoons, I said, the guy said, there's some serious renovation going on here. You might not want to be here when it happens. So, right, because he was about to blow up the building. So I'm just saying, you know, we have to be always prepared to leave. OK, I wanted to last night make sure that I honor J.R. Church for writing this book, because I always type, if there's the Hitler sign right there, the swastika there, but I always tape over it because I don't even like looking at it. Amen. But he wrote this book, Hidden Prophecies in the Psalms. And I don't think he'll get a Pulitzer Prize. I don't think it'll be the New York's bestseller list. I don't even think a lot of people have even picked this book up, because I think I bought this book back in 2002. Okay. And I read this book over and over and over again for years. I've got so many notes. As a matter of fact, if I turn it upside down, most of the pages will fall out. And I've got two or three of them. I've loaned them to other people. And J.R. Church wrote this book and many other good books that talk. And this one has turned out to be one of the most valuable to me, because what God revealed to me the other day was that the prophecy of typology of 120 year count before the judgment day is on.
Yeah.
And God wanted you to know that 120 year count is on. What did we do as born again Christians? And it was a very smart thing. And this is what I love about God. He doesn't give me things that are untrue to keep you interested. He gives me gives you things that are true. And then when you check them, you know that they're true. So when we checked 120 jubilees and it ending in 2017, and then Trump comes forward as they did in 1917, and declared Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. And then Trump comes exactly two jubilees later. It happened again in 67. Then 2017, Trump comes and declares that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews exactly 100 years later. You begin to go, wow, okay, what is God showing, Pastor Sandy, that 120 jubilees equals 6,000 years? Hmm. That's very important. And these are the informations that we have to get to you so that you understand how true the Bible is.
Yeah.
Last night, we went over something about one of the most evil men in the history.
Stalin, right?
Yeah, Joseph Stalin. And I did not know this history about Joseph Stalin. But I wanted to, in the book, Hidden Prophecies in the Psalm, he mentioned that the book was probably talking about Joseph Stalin. So I went in and did a discovery on the fact that, okay, did Joseph Stalin ever make this quote? And I said, wow, he did make the quote. He made the quote that they're fooling us. There is no God. OK, when World War One started, he was the head of the Soviet Union. And this is his quote. They're fooling us. There is no God. And then the Bible quotes in Psalms 14, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And then on the year that he dies, 1953, in Psalms 53, it says once again, the fool has said that there is no God, but the fool is now dead. and has discovered something completely new. So, yes.
Robert Matos said, Pastor Sandy, I have a quick question. Would 120 years be considered the end of 2020 being Nisan 1?
Nisan 1 is 2020 New Year's Eve for God. And thank you so much. Who asked that question?
Because that
is something that I really wanted to show you guys today, because I don't want you to be off, okay? And this is what I need to show you. I'm going to erase what's on the board, and I'm going to show you. Now, before I show you, I'm going to ask each and every one of us to make sure that we go to Exodus chapter 12 right now, okay? Because this has to be based on fact. It can't be based on just Pastor Sandy's idea. Oh, my goodness. So much to say. The brain be moving. Okay. Revelation chapter 12. This is God talking to Moses. He says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household, right? So what is that beginning of that month? It's Nisan, okay, spring. This is God declaring to Israel, the 7 month used to be the beginning of the month for you, but now this month, Nisan, is now the new beginning of the month for you. The 7 month used to be Tishri, Rosh Hashanah, right? But God changed it. God changed it. He said, from now on, this month is the new month for that will start your year. Now, Israel has two calendars because they want to be obedient, but they won't be obedient. Right. So they continue to say their new Happy New Year or Rosh Hashanah at Rosh Hashanah on Tishri first. God said that stopped being the rule a long time ago. But Israel, in the way they keep their year, they said, no, we're going to have two calendars. This will be our civil calendar, and this will be our agricultural calendar, but they still say Happy New Year on in Tishri. God said, no, your new year is Nisan first.
Yes.
Okay? So, we are, for example, right now we're in 2019, okay? We're really nuts because we go by Lucifer calendar, right?
Right.
This is Pope Gregory's calendar. Pope Gregory said, we have to start the new year in January and honor the god Janus, the two-headed bisexual statue. So Pope Gregory wanted to honor Janus, this god that he prayed to, as being the first year of the month. Now, if you read the history of it, all of the popes were arguing over this. This is impossible. You can't do this. We can't start a new year in the middle of the winter. And Pope Gregory won the argument and they changed the calendars, okay? So January, or month representing Janus after December, became Happy New Year, okay? So we say Happy New Year to honor Janus, okay? This god that opened, and this two-headed statue, bisexual statue, it opens the door. It's called the door to spirituality. So he opens the door for spirits, okay? And so he really wanted to honor Janus. So God is not going to honor your Happy New Year. I'm sorry, right? And God is not going to continue to stay on Rosh Hashanah as being the new year, because they're supposed to be saying new year at Nisan, okay? But God knows both calendars, okay? And so when it becomes January, it will no longer be 2019 to us. It will be 2020 in January. Mm-hmm. Now, is God going to say, hey, it's 2020 now? No. God's going to say, it's still the 2020th year until Nisan 1st. So find out when Nisan 1st is of next year, and then that will be the day that it turns to 20. Now, this is what I know us as rapture watchers. We don't want to wait till 2020. Pastor Sandy, Pastor Ben, we want to go in 2019. Okay. God bless you. I do too. But listen to this. The tribulation begins in 2020. Okay. Which means that the church may leave well ahead of that, even up to 6 months. Okay? So keep your bags packed, because nobody is telling you that we have to wait till 2020 for the rapture. You have to be on God's calendar. And now what Felipe and his wife, I think her name is Lita, they sent me some information on all the 19s that talk about the rapture. And I believe that they are right, because the rapture, even in Psalms, is shown in Psalms chapter 119. I forget in the letter Hey, which means life. Okay, so where are we at? That's what we want to know. And I want people to know that, look, we were wrong.
Yeah.
About the 120th Jubilee being the 120th year. We were wrong. But we were not wrong that 120 Jubilees did equal 6,000 years. And in 2017, the king had already worked 6 days.
Yeah.
But remember this. Now, after the king worked 6 days, now they plan his wedding. We're in wedding planning time.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Once the wedding happens, okay, then the tribulation for Israel will occur.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want you guys to know that the world is going to celebrate 2020. Let them do it. But don't you celebrate 2020 until Nisan 1st.
Right.
And if the rapture happens in the spring of 2000, what they call 20, mm-hmm. in March or it's like that, then okay, the rapture happened in 2019 in God's eyes, and in the world's eyes it would have happened in 2020.
Amen.
But okay, so I hope you guys understand that. Now let's get to some of this material scripture. Okay. We already went over that, so I don't want to go over that. So let's look at this. Let's see what is in Genesis 19, okay? Because someone sent it to me. They said all the raptures are in 19. Now, in Genesis 19, what do we get? Ah, look at the story in Genesis 19. It's a story about Sodom and Gomorrah.
19 what?
Genesis 19. The whole chapter is about Sodom and Gomorrah and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm. And the whole chapter talks about what? Lot. Okay? Mm-hmm. And the whole chapter is talking about what? The angels can't bring destruction until Lot gets out of the way.
Right.
That's what it's talking about. Okay? So in the scripture, in one of the gospels, he said it will be like the days of Noah. But then he also says it will also be like the days of Lot. Mm. Okay? And so he's equating both of those days to being typologies of the rapture. Okay? So, and God put it in Genesis 19. Do we believe that God structured the Bible and its scriptures and where the numbers would be? Do we believe that?
He did.
He did. And I've heard some very PhD guys go, you know, the numbers and the chapters didn't come till much later, and so God had nothing to do with that, you know, until I show them that how structured the chapters are and the numbers are to match the numerical values of the Hebrew gematria, and then they can begin to understand, because then you would have to say Isaiah having 66 chapters was not from God. The men added the chapters. Isaiah has 66 chapters that represent 66 books.
Yeah.
It is called the mini Bible. So that means somebody up there is dictating that Isaiah should have 66 chapters.
Amen.
Okay? So for the story of Luke to be right here in the 19th chapter of Genesis, and what are we going to talk about? So Lot went out in verse 14. So Lot went out to speak to his son-in-laws who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, "Hurry, get out of this place because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his son-in-laws thought he was joking. Like when we tell people about the rapture, oh, that's so funny. You guys are so worried about when Jesus is coming. He'll come when he comes. My job is to just be me. Okay. Be you. Okay. It says, with the coming of the dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." Destruction was coming in chapter 19. Look, you see that? And he says, when he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hand of his wife and of his daughter-in-law and led them safely out of the city. For the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them says, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back. And don't stop anywhere in the plains. Flee to the mountain, or you will be swept away." Now listen, this is what Lot says. But Lot says to them, "No, my Lord, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life, but I can't flee to the mountain. This disaster will overtake me, and I will die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." And he said to them, "Verily," he says, "very well." This is the angel says, "Very well. I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly because I cannot do anything until you reach it." This is what the town, why the town was called Zoar. Now, listen. For all the people, and I hope we're over this, for all the people with the 3 days of darkness.
Someone wrote it last night.
And we're going to be running around. Stop it, okay? Stop it. Because you can't just go with something that people has made popular. You've got to go with what the scripture. If anyone can find a scripture that says 3 days of darkness before the rapture happens, that we won't have electricity and we'll be running around, and then all of a sudden God will go, okay, now that you've been suffering for the last 3 days, now the rapture doesn't happen. As a matter of fact, the scripture says there'll be weddings, yeah, and everyday life will be going on when the rapture happens. And so you want to go by what God says, not what they've made popular on YouTube. Okay. Yeah. So here is Lot, and the angel is saying exactly what Jesus is saying. I'm not going to do anything until you get out of here. Okay. Let's look at some of the others. Felipe is like, he's using my paper. I sure am. You send me good stuff, I am going to use it. Okay. Now, we can go to, let's go to Isaiah 46, because I love Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46 is one of my favorite. This is actually, she has verse 10, but it's actually 9 and 10, I believe. Or he, Felipe. Where's both of them? They both sent it. I hope they did it as a couple. Okay? So Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10. Now, listen what it says. Zakar means to remember. Okay? I'm going to start at verse 8 because I like verse 8. It says, remember this, fix it in your mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, and the ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. Okay, from the east I summon the bird of prey. From a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. So God is saying this: what He's told, He's given us the end in the beginning. So what did God give us in the beginning? He gave us Noah, 120 years. He gave us Lot. I can't do anything till I get the innocent people out. He's given us how he's going to operate. And then in with Noah's situation, he says, look, Noah, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the exact amount of years before judgment comes. The exact amount of years. We did jubilees. Because it was amazing. From Adam to 2017 is exactly 6,000 years. How is that possible? And then you put it in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, 1 through 7, and you mention 1,000 six times in 2000. So we know. And then Trump announces the Jubilee in 2017. We're right on time. We're waiting for the rapture.
Yep.
Okay? It's not misinformed. You've been informed. But God says, there's more to my story.
Right.
Okay, there's more to my story. Now, you did the 120 jubilees, and it did land on 6 years. But just remember, after the Jews were in the Holocaust, they were in the Holocaust for 6 years. They didn't get back in charge of Israel till 1948. That's 3 years. You understand? So that's a 3-year difference. Okay, Jesus Christ died on the cross on the 14th of Nisan. But he didn't get up to the 17th of Nisan. So we got to look at some things, okay? Here we are, we come to the 17th, 2017. It's the 6,000 years, the end of the sixth day. It's time. The war is over. We should go back to Jerusalem. God's like, hold up, I'm working that out. We'll get you back there in 3 years as owners. You won't go back to be immigrants there because it's your land. But in 3 years, you're going to be back in the land and you're going to be owners of Israel. So here we are, 2017. And I can see God saying to his people, to the church, hold on, my bride. Don't go to sleep. Make sure that you stay awake, because in three, you'll be back. You'll be in the land that was promised to you. And so I believe that the church needs to wait. And the scripture says, wait with great expectations. Yeah. I'm about to sneeze, I think. Somebody pray for me.
Bless you.
Nope, nobody prayed. Y'all should have prayed for me.
Bless you to get it out.
Okay, yeah, maybe that was what they prayed for. Okay, now let's look at Exodus chapter 19. Because God is so consistent, right? God is so consistent. Is it? No, not Exodus. Deuteronomy. See, she didn't. Did she put Deuteronomy 19? Let me see if they put Deuteronomy 19. Because Deuteronomy 19 is very important. Let's see. Oh, man, I was going to give you guys really props. But they didn't put Deuteronomy 19, but that's okay. Because we'll go to Revelation 19 later. Okay, but Deuteronomy 19, let's go to there and let's look what Deuteronomy 19 has to talk about. All right. And Deuteronomy 19. Wow. Ooh. City of, ooh. Wow. Okay. I see what Deuteronomy 19 is talking about, but oh, Deuteronomy 19. Oh, it's Exodus 19. They're right. Deuteronomy talking about the city of refuge. That's a whole nother teaching. But Jesus is our city of refuge. So, yeah, let's go to Exodus 19. Okay. I love Exodus 19. Because know what Exodus 19 talks about? The actual wedding day. It talks about the wedding day of God in Israel. This day right here that is happening at the time of Shavuot. Okay? It is 50 days later. They are sitting at the bottom of the mountain, and Moses goes to talk to them.
Oh, yeah.
And Moses says to them, in 3 days, the Lord is going to come and visit you.
Yeah.
3 days? Oh my goodness, look at that, okay? So God says, look, prepare for the third day. Prepare yourself for the third day. Wash your clothes. Keep yourself in order, because in the third day, I'm going to come down, and then he gives very important instructions about this wedding and how it is supposed to take place. Let's look at some of this, okay? I'm in Exodus chapter 19, and I'm going to, let's see, Moses, back up. Okay, let's start at verse 7. It says, so Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words of the Lord. The Lord had commanded him to speak. The people responded together, we will do everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought their answer back to God, because God wanted to know, do you want to marry me or not? Moses went and got the answer. They gave a positive answer. Moses goes back to God. The Lord says to Moses, I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. Then Moses told the Lord what the people said. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day. Wow. And so we're wondering, like, it's been 2017, 2018, 2019. What is going on? God may be telling us, wait for the third. Okay. So have washed your clothes. He says, because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of the people, put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not go up the mountain to touch the foot of it. Whosoever touched the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Not a hand is to be laid on him. Whether man or animal, He shall not be permitted to live only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast. They are to go up to the mountain. So we can't go up till we hear the trumpet blast, okay?
Amen.
God is saying, I'm speaking to you the end in the beginning, okay? So then he tells them to prepare themselves and to abstain themselves and to make sure. He said, and then in verse 17, it says that Moses led them out of the camp to the mountain with the Lord. And let me see, go all the way to 18, 19. And the Lord descended in the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So there you have in 19, the wedding happening. But they can't go up until they hear the trumpet blast. That's in 19. Now, there's another scripture. Thank you, Pastor Ben. There's another scripture here that she refers to, and I'm hoping it's going to the one that we went over last year. And I think it's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 19. And it references Exodus chapter 19. Yeah, I spoke on this. Did you take my message? Okay. I spoke on this last year because this marriage that Moses goes through, right? This marriage that Moses goes through was absolutely the scariest wedding ever recorded in the history of mankind. There's no bride who would want to get married under those circumstances. Because it said when God came down, the mountain shook, the people were in fear, you know what I mean? Bellows of fire were going everywhere. And it said the people trembled because the voice of God spoke. And I'm like, what kind of wedding was that, right?
I was not going to be like that in the past.
Then, okay, let's go to Hebrews chapter, I think... Okay, let's go to Hebrews chapter, I think it's chapter 12. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 12, verse, she says it's 19. They were at home. I love when you guys are studying because my whole thing is I don't really tell you stuff for you to believe me. I tell you stuff to make you study.
Yeah.
When I say something, I want it to be so outrageous that you go, I'm going to look that up.
There you go.
Like that Joseph Stalin guy. You should look that up. You should go, did he really say that? And was God really talking about him when he says the fool says in his heart that there is no God? Because he already said it in 14 at the beginning of World War I. Why would God also repeat the exact same chapter in 53 unless the fool died in 1953?
Hebrew, what happened?
Hebrew chapter 9, right? Is it 9 verse 12? 19, or is it 12 verse? Let's see here. Hebrew chapter 12, verse 19. So here we go. We're Hebrews chapter 12.
Pastor, can we do a shout out right quick?
Yes.
Larry and Georgia Jeffcoat. They just joined the church.
All right.
Dublin, Georgia.
Praise God. I love that. Jeffcoat is the last name?
Jeffcoat.
Praise
Larry
God.
And George.
Jordan Jeffcoat. Yes. So praise God. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. If you have never done the Hebrew studies, please give me your email so that I can send you the Hebrew studies. I want people to know that information. It's 17 Bible studies God gave me that the whole body of Christ should know.
Yeah.
So I offer it for everybody for free. Because I think it's information you've got to know. Okay, 12, verse 19. Are you guys ready?
Ready.
Oh, we'll start in verse 18, because this is what it says. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched. Okay, so he's talking to the church now. He said, by the way, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched. This is not the type of wedding you're going to have. Oh, and that is burning with fire, to darkness and gloom and storms, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further words be spoken to them. because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned to death, right? It must be stoned.
Right.
The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. That was Israel's marriage day, okay? And they came under the hoopah, and that was the situation. But he says to the church, but you, my bride, the church, you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirit of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. And Abel's blood is the numerical value of 888, which is Yeshua, right? So Abel was representing what? The brother that got killed by his own brothers. The Jesus that got killed by his own brothers. That's why he mentions Abel at the end of this. You understand? Because Abel was a typology of Christ. One day, his own brothers will kill him for no reason, but because they didn't like it. But he says, you've come to a better blood. Okay? And a better... The wedding we're going to is Mount Zion. And when we get there, it'll be in the assembly of thousands upon thousands of angels when the church arrives. So that being the conclusion of the marriage that is about to happen. Now, if I can talk to you for a minute. I showed this last night as God was showing it to me. If there are many typologies in the scriptures, the typologies must be fulfilled. A lamb has to be killed in Egypt so that the blood of that lamb can stop the death angel from coming into that family. Three spots of blood had to be put on the door so that because that door was representing Christ, because Christ is the door. He is the four. He is the door that opens heaven to us. And so that blood is representing a future blood and a future door that is going to keep us safe from the death angel. This is all about eternal life, you guys. And that's why I don't understand why humans aren't fighting for eternal life. Who cares if you have $1 billion? If you don't have eternal life, you have a temporary $1 billion, okay?
Temporary.
If you have eternal life, you have all the riches in the world, right? Because you have God. Now, we have to understand this. Why I was showing you what I is God has given us a typology in Genesis of a 120-year count that leads to what? The judgment coming, okay? Now, come over here, Pastor Ben, because we got to look at this one more time. One more time. Now, 120. It's not just a number. It's a prophecy.
Right.
120 in Hebrew. Me'ah ve'esrim. Okay. What letter in this word represents salvation? Vav. Complete salvation, the connection. If I take Vav out of the equation of 120, you get 666. So when salvation leaves, you get 666. You see that?
Yes.
You get 666. Now, this word 120 is more than just a number. It's prophesying. What happened when God saved Noah and his family on the 120th day? They received judgment. The world received judgment, but the Vav went up. You understand? It's the same thing. It's the same typology. So here we are. the 120th year, we're in 119, and we're in September, almost October, of 119. Okay? The 120-year count, starting from 1900s to this present 119 and 120 next year, we're living in some very dangerous times. Yeah. And if you want to be saved, listen, if you want to be saved, you're going to have to understand some basic rules of salvation.
Yeah.
First rule of salvation. The rapture is a judgment that ends grace. I'm going to say that again. The rapture is a judgment that ends grace. Where do you get that from, Pastor Sandy? Noah, his name backwards means grace. You understand? Hen is just Noah, forward is backwards. Understand? When the 120 came, grace ended. Noah and his family went up and judgment came down, right?
Yes.
Grace ends. So now, you have a time of grace. Grace is a wonderful thing, because if I sin right now under this structure of grace, I can repent of my sins and be brought back in relationship with Christ just by repentance.
Yeah.
This is called grace. This is favor. You understand? God has favor on us now, but grace runs out. There is no scripture in the Bible that says your grace endures forever. It says his mercy endures forever, but his grace has a time limit.
Yeah.
Okay? So we don't want to be found at the time of the trumpet blast in three different situations. We don't want to be lukewarm. Okay? Lukewarm, you're halfway in, you're halfway out. Complacent. That's what the scripture says. You're complacent about your relationship. You don't want to be lukewarm. You don't want to be found without your garment.
Amen.
Okay? Because God issued you the Holy Spirit as a clothing, as a garment for you to wear. And then when you enter into the king's party, then you will have on the proper garment and he won't kick you out. You understand? I'm saying this metaphorically, but I'm trying to explain to you that the Holy Spirit will not dwell in a person who is in a practicing sinful life. Okay? The other thing, you don't want to be found with no oil in your lamp and no fire going on. You understand? So it shows that the scripture has prerequisites to the wedding banquet. You understand?
Yeah.
If everybody's going, then lukewarm don't get spit out. Those who aren't clothed, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? You still get to stay. And those who have no oil in their lamp, who cares?
Right.
But the scripture is making sure that you know these three things matter. You want to be walking with Christ. You want to be in relationship with Christ. If you have things in your life that you're fighting against, that you're trying to overcome, you want to be in prayer and repentance about those things as you overcome them. What you don't want to be in is a complacent lifestyle where you say, well, this is just the way I am. This is what I do. And God's going to have to come down to my level and understand this is who I am. It's a very dangerous place to be. I'm just saying this because, we know people that they're Christians, but we go to their house, they're having a party, and there's so much booze there, and everybody's drinking, and the DJ is playing music with profanity, but they're Christians. They also have a Bible study every Thursday night. You know what I mean? It's like, so you're halfway in, you're halfway out. I'm saying, sell out to Christ. You understand? Let the world go. We need to separate ourselves. He is holy. That means he separated himself for us. We need to be holy and separate ourselves to him. Praise God. All right. Let's pray out, because I think I over-talked.
That's all right. It's all good.
All right. And I want to thank Felipe and his wife. If I mispronounce her name, I think it's Lita. And if it's not Lita, correct me on the pronunciation of it. I want to thank them that they did send this letter in to me, because they said, 19 is so important, and they were watching the study. So let's pray out. And I don't know how many of you guys got the Rishon Messianic Bible Club T-shirts. I wish we could offer them free, but we got to pay the rent. But if you want them, the company that makes them said they'll definitely
just email
Pastor Ben and he will give it to you, because that is very important. I love the T-shirt. Okay, Rishon Messianic Bible Club. Who would have thought? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's pray out. Oh man, I could stay here and talk to you guys about the Bible all day, but let's pray out. I want to thank everybody for joining us today. I want to thank everybody for the financial support that you give us. I mean, coming out of my mouth, it sounds crazy, but you guys are like awesome to our church, and it helps us to do a lot of really good things. I'm not going to tell you the things that I'm doing, because I want credit for it when I get to heaven. If I tell you what I'm doing with the blessings that you're giving me, then that means I'm kind of like bragging about it or doing my works openly, you know. But we're doing good things, okay? And so here we are. Let's pray out. And the Lord said to Moses, "Moses, when you see my people, say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you.
Yes.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarekha Adonai v'yishmarekha. Ya'ir Adonai panavileka v'chunekha. Yi'aseh Adonai panavileka v'yasim lekai shalom." Shalom, everybody. Le'itriot b'shavua chaba. Have a great week. Praise God. And weekend.